Hey, good afternoon. I'm Chairman Brett Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 1:30 agenda item that will run till about 4:30, and we'll start with the orders that they're presented. This is fiscal year 2026 budget workshops, and we're going to be meeting over the parks, cultural, and natural resources. All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Mike and I are excited to be here to present our parks budget, and hopefully we can get through this relatively quickly and easily with some of the visuals, because like we said in the past, these multi-year grants are probably the most complicated thing we talk about. So hopefully the visuals we created help assist our thought processes and tracking the money from year to year. If it's okay, we'll just give a brief overview of and go through the budget narrative that we presented. You know, we're a department that does all kinds of different things, unique things, and our mission is to preserve the cultural and natural resources of our county as recreational and educational opportunities for our citizens and visitors. We're lucky in Canyon County because we have so many unique things that our Parks Department is involved with. We also spread ourselves throughout the county, as you can see on page two. We go everywhere from the two farthest corners in the county, between Martin Landing, which is an agreement we do with Fish and Game, to Celebration Park down on the opposite end. It would be very hard to visit all of our parks in one day, just to drive to all of them. So
I was going to say, I just flew all over them. So
there you go. Yes, that's much quicker. That's
way quicker.
So, you know, I'm very proud of what my team manages with what we have, with the staff we have, because it is a lot. You know, we're lucky because we represent Idaho history, archaeology, habitat, ecology, outdoor recreation, all those types of things. And as you know, we're really known for our field trip programs, especially the archaeology programs, the Stories in Stone, which is our flagship fourth grade field trip that hits the curriculum standards for and people throughout the Treasure Valley and even out of the state come to visit for these programs. But we also have others like the Wildland Fire, Lake Lowell Ecology, Winter Desert Ecology. We do scout programs and occasionally virtual field trips, though most people actually prefer to be on site. Kind of not surprising, but we do are able to accommodate sometimes with those virtual field trips, which is great. We also offer some other unique things like Canoe Science Camp. We are part of annual events, especially this time of year where it's Archaeology Month, Outpost Days, Raptor Fest, which is coming up. Sometimes we go to school rendezvous. We also work closely with BSU for the Desert Studies Institute, which has been a program that has been in partnership with Canyon County and Canyon County Park specifically since 1997. Where we teach classes. So we maintain those university level relationships and partnerships. And of course we have our Crossroads Museum with lots of unique features, including a non-lending library focused on archaeology in the Snake River Canyon. Part of our role is also community advisory boards that we're associated with or in charge of. One we're very proud of is the Historic Preservation Commission, which is a certified local government that gives local governments a specific formal role in historic preservation efforts and goals. Through this organization, we work to achieve the goals and efforts of the Canyon County Historic Preservation Plan and to support and guide the commissioners in making decisions about historic preservation based on their historic preservation expertise. And I really think that we probably have one of the most expert certified local government boards probably in the state. So I think we're very lucky for, you know, and part of that is being in a more populated area, but everyone on our board meets the roles that they prefer to have on there. So we're very lucky with that. And then we should constantly be bragging about the fact that we are the only certified local government that uses a state statute to actually give out historic preservation grants, mostly because Canyon County is so unique in the number of different historic preservation entities in the county. So that's a program we continue with and we're very, very proud of. We also are part of the Idaho-Oregon Snake River Water Trail. We unfortunately haven't had as much time this last year to be active in that, but we are integral to that group. And then the Southwest Idaho Resource Conservation and Development, my role is to be the treasurer on that organization, and that allows us access to nonprofit, projects or grants that we wouldn't qualify for as a government entity. So that's another unique task that's under our department. Planning and goals, we're really just trying to maintain and check things off from the Canyon County Parks, Pathways, and Cultural Resources Plan adopted in 2024. Thankfully, we've got several of those things checked off, and we're just gonna keep heading in that direction. Some highlights from 25 is that our staff was featured on Public Television Outdoor Idaho's episode Nature is a Classroom, which is always great when our programs are highlighted like that. Boise State University Anthropology Department held their archaeology field school out at Celebration Park in the fall of 2024. They do that every now and then, needing a place for students to get those upper division field school credits and a location to actually practice the tools of the trade that they're gonna get into. We have our historic preservation officer working on ongoing Section 106 compliance, consultation and mitigation. So this is times when historic properties are going to be affected by something linked with federal lands, federal funding, or a federal permit. And basically it gives locals a chance to be part of the conversation of how essentially we're gonna make up for that potential negative effect to the historic things in our area. A lot of times that just means money is put towards preserving another type of historic preservation thing. So those are opportunities we definitely don't wanna miss out on. And they just keep popping up more and more. As you all know, we get more growth and more development. Chelsea, the historic preservation officer, has done a great job on updating the Historic Preservation Commission page to also include the kind of a one-stop resource for lots of different things in the county related to historic preservation. Again, one of the concerns when you have this many different separate organizations with historic preservation is where's the one spot people go? And so that is one of the things I've tasked her with, is to try and for us to try and help be that one spot where they can learn about, okay, here's where all the museums are, the organizations, all this stuff. And she's done a great job, including creating a visual map that's inset in there that you can link to on the county. So if you're looking for a museum, a National Register site, you can just go to that link and find all those. We now have a park supervisor position. I'm happy to say it is filled. We've promoted from within. We have also adopted a new title for, instead of interpretive specialists, our part-time staff are interpretive rangers, which provides more clarity and it aligns with modern standards more. People don't think you're interpreting a language. They now think you are an interpreter and a ranger at a park. So, Crossroads Museum has had a lot of physical upgrades to it. Shelving, the mezzanine level has, its library is up and going with workstations and stuff. Hopefully tomorrow at the opening ceremony for the Adlal deck, maybe if you have time, you should come check out the museum and see those additional storage aspects and upgrades. We've got new interpretive signage on the east end, just more things for people to read as they move through the landscape down there. We've reconfigured the RV turnaround area at Halverson Bar to provide turnaround for recreational vehicles and ask people to park in another spot. That was a big deal to coordinate with BLM, and we're working well together on getting people to park actually on BLM land to walk through our land to make sure that the RVs have a turnaround. So we're grateful for their help and understanding in dealing with that issue. Lake Lowell Park has new lighting, so at night it is lit up and you can come and go from the parking lot without it being pitch black. And we have notices up for seal coating and painting next week, so we're excited about that. We've updated old drinking fountains. We've also drafted a memorial tree and bench donation policy and guidelines. This is one that pops up. We get requests for these and they start one way and they go the other way and they blow up into this big back and forth. And so we're very close. I would like to work with some other departments such as facilities and the fair now to see if they would also like to kind of make it a bigger, more joint policy where it clearly scopes the expectations for people so that it is less scope creep and less 20 questions back and forth on.
Right, that sounds great.
Yeah. And we have applied for phase two of a Celebration Park Motor Improvement Grant. This we applied for $265,540. This one we are expecting to hear from any day, so I will talk about this a couple times in this presentation. We have entered both the expenditure amount we need and the reimbursement amount. I was really hoping we'd hear, but we haven't yet. If we should not get that grant, we will work with auditing to just pull both of those funds from this budget. We've always put them in anticipation that we want to be prepared like we're going to get the grant.
Sure.
So a couple of the capital improvement projects that we're very excited about is the renovation and improvement of the Celebration Park decking, ALL and petroglyph decking. I'm very excited that we are having an opening ceremony tomorrow. It is absolutely amazing. And the shade that is provided, I've had staff that even said they didn't like teaching the ALL portion. They loved being assigned to other things, and as soon as there was shading there, they realized it was all about standing in the sun. The other programs are moving around, but ALL, you're standing, you're watching, and making sure it's safe. And I now have staff that's like, I want to do like now they're fighting over ALL, which is great. And it provides that safety aspect too of if somebody should get overheated out there, there's somewhere to go. And we're sending children home, hopefully with less sunburns. It's also now ADA compliant. Everything about it is just amazing. So we're really grateful for that. We look forward to the opening ceremony tomorrow. We've also developed a site-specific plan, working with several different groups in the county, sheriff's office, facilities, landfill for the gun range training complex. And we've initiated steps towards that, including fencing, and we'll keep phasing those improvements. We've awarded the phase one Celebration Park Boater Improvement Project, which was a multi-year grant, as you're aware, from state parks. And then, again, we anticipate receiving word any day about phase two. We know that it's very likely that we'll get this. They like to see projects completed, so they're not a fan of just funding one phase of something. And we've had very strong applications in the past. So hopefully we have good news any day. For grant award success since 2019, where we've been really diligent with tracking, we've had over $1 million in grant award funded for projects. If we get this grant award that we will hopefully be finding about any day, that will be almost $1,300,000 in grants. Which is in reimbursement grants, which is awesome.
Yeah.
For this year, we know that we've got a $10,000 phase three agricultural resources and rural landscape survey grant, which again, we match with the grants that we use the grants that we award from the county as match for the grant requirement from the state, which is a 50% match. And then this last year, we awarded $76,700 in grants. That was two very large grants that have proceeded very well. For our goals, our number one goal is to complete phase one of the Celebration Park boater improvements. And then continue improvements on the county gun range training complex, working with the sheriff's office to get their training complex aligned with ours. We want to formally adopt and implement the memorial tree and bench donation policy and guidelines within our department and potentially in conjunction with other departments. And as usual, continue auditing and updating our field trip programs. As you guys can imagine, standards change all the time. So the better we're auditing those and making sure we meet the standards, the better we are assisting the teachers in their educational needs and defending using the field trips, right? We still have a line on purchasing land. That's sometimes it takes a while. So we're requesting to essentially roll that $400,000 over. We're still waiting on word. If you'd like, we can have a bigger conversation about that at another point. But at this point, we're still hoping that one way or another, some land acquisitions or trades or a combination of can come through.
Okay.
Now that we've got Celebration Park voter improvement grants in the works and hopefully awarded, our next site will be improvements at Lake Lowell, preferably Lower Dam recreational area. You know, it needs voter improvement. Again, that's a recreational thing with our MOU with Deer Flat. We had intended to this last year look at those improvements, but with the need for a second phase at Celebration Park, it just got bumped a year. So as we're working through the improvements at the park, we will start making a plan with our partners and with state parks to look at improvements at Lake Lowell. So in conjunction with completing phase one, if we get phase two for Celebration Park voter improvement, we'll implement and start that project. And then looking at piloting fees for the dormitories at Celebration Park. That is something that we had really wanted to implement this last year. However, when my assistant director resigned, staffing capacity changed. So now with Mike in place and hopefully some other staffing issues can settle down, that will become a bigger priority. Page 10 shows program metrics. This is from FY24. It is a lot to compile and go through this data, so we didn't update this. It doesn't really change a lot, so we figured we would probably look at these metrics again in a few years. However, we decided to look at a different metric this year, and we have a visitor logbook in the visitor center at Celebration Park. It's there. Typically, people are distracted by all kinds of other things in the visitor center. Not everybody sees it. Our visitor center is also limited to the hours of 10 to 2. So what we do know is that with that limited access and just, you know, it's there. If they see it, they sign it. Great. We're catching a sliver of the population that's down there. Mike actually was the one who compiled the data and was able to tell that just in the last year, for sure, 39 different states and 11 different nations have visited. We know it's way bigger than that because everybody, like when we showed staff this, they were like, well, I gave a tour to somebody from this country and this country and this country. So, but this is what we have the proof and the metrics for. And we think it's pretty great that, you know, 39 states for sure visited. And 11 nations. I don't think I need to bore you with other metrics of the number of campsites and acres. That's all there. So if we move on to revenues, our revenues in the Parks Department really come from two different things, and that's park user fees and reimbursement of grants. With the bigger growth in the Treasure Valley and lots of people ever since COVID turning more towards campers and recreational vehicles and boats and all those things, actually the state parks recreational grants have been quite healthy, which is great for parks. As far as the actual user fees, we have seen a steady increase through FY23, as you can see. FY24, it was a bit of a decrease, and we suspect this was the fact that we had lots of construction equipment in the parking lot down at Celebration Park because of the ad level construction. So we're also anticipating that with the boater improvements grant and construction this next year, we're not going to see as much in user fees because that's our main collection spot. So that is why we after a lot of deliberation, Mike and I decided that 4,000 is a safe number to put in there, just not knowing how much it'll be affected, knowing that it's a lot of boats use the facility down there, and if it's going to be closed, we're going to lose those for a little while. However, once these improvements are done, we can establish new fees for those types of things. So we'll just watch those. Grant reimbursements, as I said, we've got one specifically for $10,000 that will get reimbursed to us when that project is completed for the Phase 3 Agricultural Resources and Rural Landscapes survey, which will be in the Parma area. In the revenue section, for capital grants, you'll notice in total we have $593,680 in anticipated revenue. That is broken up with Phase 1 voter improvement grant, anticipating $328,140 in reimbursement. And Phase 2 would equate to $265,540 in reimbursement. So that is a combination of those two numbers. Is everyone following so far?
So far, so good.
Okay. Again, we haven't adjusted the fees. We've talked about this, but with these improvements, it'll go over much better with the public once we have these improvements done. So that is something that we're going to work on as these improvements do, and so that we can get that ready to get board approval and through legal to pull that trigger when these projects are finished.
So my guess is it exceeds the 5%. So you're going to have to roll into your mind that we'll have to go through the public hearing process on a fee increase greater than 5%. So keep that in mind if you're trying to meet a time period that you're going to have your volume coming through.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Right. Thank you. For the A budget, as far as overtime, historically we've used comp time in for unscheduled and unanticipated events, staffing issues, emergencies. Like you guys have heard me say, there's all kinds of things that happen. Just last Friday, Mike was at Celebration Park and they had a report of an emergency situation where staff was helping search for somebody. Thankfully, it seemed like it was a prank or nothing came of it, but they were literally doing grid searches of the ground trying to find someone who had made a distressing call. We can't expect those things, and you know, thankfully my staff rolls up their sleeves and goes, what do we need to do? So, you know, we can't anticipate those. Looking at the comp numbers from last year, we're putting in for $5,000. Again, each year we don't know with those, but we felt like this is a solid place to start with those. We do have several staff that are exempt, so it is limited to a certain staff. So we're pretty comfortable going into this with the first year requesting $5,000 for that.
Okay.
Canoe Science Camp has really been refined over the years. We're going to ask for one less Canoe Science Camp employee for that. So instead of 5, we're going to go down to 4 employees, which lowers that number to $17,280. We budget operating expenditures, computer equipment. We are not anticipating needing anything new. IT didn't say we needed anything new. Our standard has been to put in $2,000 as a backup for, you know, what that replaces one laptop should something go wrong. So that's just been my standard baseline for that.
Okay.
As far as how the B budget compares from one year to the other, it's easiest if we talk about the B budget excluding capital improvements, because capital improvements are where the big story comes in. So excluding capital improvements, we've been able to lean up our budget by a decrease of $11,700 for FY26, which is great. The conversation with the B budget, you'll see lots of math equations in here. Well, not a lot, a few. Again, we'd like to roll over the purchase of the $400,000 for new land. So that is money that is currently sitting in the bank that we don't foresee getting used this year. So wouldn't, in our mind, it doesn't need retaxed. It's just pushing it forward. In the capital construction contract budget line, there's a request of $480,000 for the Celebration Park Boater Improvement Phase 1. This is where the attachment visual might come in handy of how this has worked through multiple years, and especially multiple years that don't line up with the state parks. So in this budget, we have $370,000 budgeted for this project. We anticipate the expenditure of $120,000. That leaves $250,000 unspent this budget that could be rolled into next budget. We have a contract for $600,000 minus that $120,000 minus that $250,000 that gets rolled over means we need $230,000 in new taxes for that project. However, we will get, when that project is completed, we will be getting $328,140 in reimbursement. So that reimbursement will be higher than the new taxes we need. You could get into the weeds with going back several years. However, that $230,000 is needed in additional taxes, but $328,140 will be reimbursed. Capital improvement contracts is that second budget. Or that second grant request from state parks for the BART, the Boater Improvement Phase 2. We did not put these two projects in the same budget line because they have to. We have to keep track of things very clearly. And so, you know, working with Sarah and auditing, she's been great about helping us make sure that these grants get separate budget lines so that we can have, it's much easier for reporting. So that $275,000 request in expenses will then be reimbursed by $265,540. Any questions so far? Okay. The other improvements request is for $150,000. That is no change from the current year. That is for gun range improvements. So we had $150,000 this year. We're anticipating $150,000 next year to continue those phases of improvements. So when we're just looking at the capital improvements budget line, it appears that we have $1,305,000 in requests for this year. However, $650,000 of that is rolled over funds that aren't going to be we don't anticipate being expended this year. So that really kind of comes out to we're requesting $655,000, which is really $265,000 lower than FY25. I know, this is where you start.
I am so thankful everybody's budget isn't like this.
Yes.
But we're aware of. It's going on, so
it makes your eyes roll sometimes trying to figure it out. And then just a reminder that again, we are anticipating $593,680 in reimbursement, which is not a slim amount in reimbursement.
Right.
Okay. For the C budget, capital budget, I think we've discussed fees, again, it's just the same math that I've kind of gone over about what NARHAD is, you know, unused funds that just need rolled over.
Clerk, you need us to stop? Are you guys tracking this?
I'll have questions later.
Okay.
The only other thing in there is that, you know, it'll probably end up costing less than 5,000, but because we're budgeting 5,000, I put it in there. It's for archival exhibit display case for the museum. Depending on, we will kind of watch for those, depending on if they go on sale. Sometimes you get better deals than not, but I figured because it's 5,000, I would put it in there. And I think that's it. I really hope that the attachments help, especially even the public understand where we're coming from. And with that, I stand for questions, concerns, comments. Kudos.
Kudos. I really like, I appreciate the documentation and how it's been outlined. It's complicated because it's a multi-year and I think you've done really well. Well, I assume we've done really well because Kyle hasn't waved his hand yet, so that's a good sign. Questions, comments?
Chairman, I just really appreciate year after year that Director Schwinn brings in detailed things. This is really complicated with the amount of grants and what her personal involvement is to ensure that the county gets grant funding, serving as treasurer. That's really, she downplays that part of it, but because of her involvement in that, it reaches out to other branches of the county that can benefit from her gifts in grant writing and networking with organizations that really benefit Canyon County. So I'm always really proud to highlight her as a director. All our directors do a great job, but Nikki has areas of expertise that really enhance the quality of life, and as is demonstrated in this, make it a point of interest nationally and globally for people to come. She really a vested interest. We're fortunate she's a subject matter expert with a master's in archaeology, and can she brings back the people she studied under who are experts and helps put together and gets people involved in a way that really makes them appreciate the cultural diversity and the artifacts, everything. Does a great job working with Native American tribes, and has testified for the county as an expert witness. It's just very exciting and brings on really good people that highlight, and they're some of the most interesting and informative field trips that the board does across the county to make sure that we're involved and understand the aspects of what goes in to county government. It's just a privilege to have her serve for us. So thank you for what you're doing and for this great presentation.
And very much appreciated.
Yeah. And Chairman, can I just ask so that I understand, really, even though that you've said $655,000, the net effect of that really that's out of pocket is $61,320. And I'm looking at your amount, and it's the paragraph on page 17 of the $655,000 in new taxes needed. Anticipated reimbursements are $593,680. So you just have to pay up front.
Correct.
It's the gap that we're looking at that really is what the new amount in taxes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, that is the hard part of narrative, and I'm sure auditing understands it too, is that you, well, I know they understand it more than anyone, is that you've got to have the money to expend before you can get the reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, you know, in the end, they null each other out, but you have mm-hmm. to have that money up front, right?
Yeah.
So that is one of the complications with our budgets, is that it looks high, but then when you get the money and the reimbursement, the story is much better.
Yeah. No, I agree. And one of the truest things that's stated is that you cannot grow more land for parks. So the value of property acquisition or networking with, like on the potential land agreement, that's another complicated, that requires some polish in negotiating, is pretty exciting. So thank you for that, and the board stands ready to help you with whatever we can do to get that phase of it completed. I know that the chief's been involved with some of that financial and interpersonal relationships that has to take place between federal agencies and the county. So just a lot of moving parts and pieces.
It really is.
Yep. Proud to say I'm a park supporter.
So am I. It's fascinating. Flew over Celebration. I can't remember Saturday or Monday. It just didn't look right. And it's like, all right, we're doing the dedication and everything tomorrow. And it's like that triangular piece just didn't look right from the air. Till it's like, yeah, that's what it looks like from the air now.
Yeah. Wait till you get underneath it. It's impressive. It's very impressive.
Yeah, it's from the air. It's like, whoa, that wasn't there before.
Chairman?
Yes.
And I don't know what the accessibility is because I've never been down to where we did the improvements that was grant funded down at by Halverson Lake, but however far that is, we should look at that as well with what's been done with that grant funding. But bring my four-wheeler, right?
Clerk?
Yeah, commissioners. I'm looking at, I'm just trying to reconcile the moving pieces. So I just want to be clear that the revenue does reflect the reimbursements. So it's not revenue on top of what's already listed in the revenue line. So there is still a operational, if you were to levy the same amount this year, $950,000, the budgeted deficit would be $849,000 of revenue over expenses. Some of that, as Nikki has shared, is there's some carryover fund balance capacity, but I just want to be clear that there isn't further reimbursement on top of what's already listed in the revenue. So the deficit includes those carryovers, and the county in 24 made a decision to levy $1.6 million into her budget, and then we dropped that to $950,000 in the current year with the understanding that there was like rollover budget capacity from fund balance because of unspent. 24 actuals, you can see in the historicals, they added $604,000 to their fund balance. That was more revenue over expenses. And then in 25, we chose to levy less in the current year with the understanding of that $600,000 rolling over from 24. But so the FY25 budget reflected a $747,000 deficit. That's the current year, but that was with an understanding of levying less because we carried over. This level of gap will necessitate a discussion about levying potentially some. You could probably spend $4 million out of the fund balance, which is like $1.2 million right now. Out of their budget, I think the fund balance, let me look at that really quick. Fund balance for, it's $1.2 million right now for parks, which is about 60% relative to their budget. If they were to spend $400,000 on the land acquisition, that would drive that down to $800,000, which is sitting right about at the fund balance levels you want just for solvency throughout the budgetary year with the ups and downs. And so knowing that there's still a decision to be made on a land acquisition, that fund balance can cover that load, if that makes sense. So if the deficit's, what did I say, $800,000? $400,000 of that you can say is in the bank, if that makes sense. The other $400,000 would need to be made up by either wanting to burn down even more of that fund balance or increasing the amount that's levied to their budget by $400,000. So rather than $950,000, it might need to be somewhere like closer to $1.4 million in that amount. So that, I'm just previewing a discussion we'll have to have at that point when we discuss how to allot what our levying capacity is among all of the funds.
And parks is within our general levy.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
But I just want to be clear that deficit doesn't need to be entirely made up through increased taxes because the fund balance amount is carrying over part of what the anticipated cost is. So I would say you could probably even spend 500K, 600K out of that fund balance, but we should probably keep, you know, about 30% fund balance to just carry us through the fiscal year. So that's a to be determined discussion, but something's going to have to, based on the budget presented, or you use more of that fund balance this year, and then next year you'll have to be, it's sort of this, I hate using the word whack-a-mole, but at some point, like, my preference is to get every fund stable where we're not doing this kind of picking and choosing, but just get everyone stabilized. But right now, I mean, the good news is their fund balance is healthy precisely because it was intended, structured to be healthy with carrying forward the unspent for the prior year. So, unless I'm wrong, the reimbursements are all, that's reconciling to what you have in the revenue line. Am I understanding that correctly?
That, yes, the capital grants, the two different capital grants in the revenue.
Is what
one
totals
is the historic
them.
Preservation yeah. money that will be returned when that's done, and the other is those two state park grants that when those are closed out. And, you know, like I said, we need to budget accordingly. We don't know about the second one. As soon as we find out, especially if we don't get it, we'll pull those, both the revenue anticipated reimbursement and the expenditure. However, it is also a potential that, you know, these grants go up to 3 years. So, you know, we budget as if we're hoping to handle it all in 1 year, but as you can see, the first one went long and we're pushing it, but the second one thankfully is building a barb in the river. It will mostly be dumping rocks in the river. It should be much cleaner, concise, permitting's done, all the hard work is done. So you know, if we had to, we could have more complicated discussions because they can be three-year grants.
Chairman, can I ask a follow-up question for the clerk? So clerk, I'm just asking for feedback because I made a statement that I saw the gap is about 61,000 between the request and then the offsetting reimbursement. So is that not accurate then?
So that is, I believe that is accurate.
Okay.
I think the bigger story, so I mean, another way of looking at it is the revenue increases is 263,000 more, right? And then the expense side is 365,000 more.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're, well, I mean, that gap is more like a net $100,000
mm-hmm.
gap. But there's more moving pieces because of how things were structured over the last couple years to explain part of the fluctuation and what was levied. You see that probably on that year-over-year chart. So if you look back at current taxes, 22 actual, 23 actual. You see the big spike in 24. The budget, you know, went from 23 at 975,000 to 1.6 mil. So I'm guessing that $625,000 increase in revenue was partially intended to cover. You'll see capital grants went up, right? 23 budget was 15,000, 24 budget was 370 something thousand, but they only expended 49,000. Of that, which explains why they carried forward from 24 so much money, because we levied that revenue. That's not just reimbursement revenue. That was revenue that was collected in taxes and put in their fund that wasn't expended on that project. So that carried over to 25, and the 25 budget reflects kind of these carryover amounts of capital grants. A different line in 25. So, yeah, all that to say that the net difference doesn't tell the whole story about
right.
What the actual operational. So, if you take revenue over expenses and subtract that, that's showing you what your gap is in order to meet the budget. So, if they were to fully expend the budget, you would have to burn 800 and something thousand. If they were to fully expend the budget, which would all come out of fund balance,
right?
So when we structure our L2s, you're having to put a cash forward amount in the amount of the gap. So
okay.
If we were to adopt this budget, we have to put under cash forward 800 and something thousand. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
I think so, and.
You have to be able to fund the budget that you're committing to, and then you'd have to show in fund balance you actually have enough money to meet that amount. But that doesn't fully tell you whether that leaves you solvent moving forward for cash flow purposes. So you can have enough money just to meet the 1 year deficit, but you might have to do a rebound in the following year as far as, but if we levied a few hundred thousand more, the way I understand it is what's in fund balance, part of it, we're not doing a fund balance policy of assigning, I want to be clear, not legally restrict, but assigning money, but there is a logical connection that to part of their fund balance is carry forward to anticipate, I think, in part, a capital, a potential purchase of land. And then you need to be able to have the capacity to front load, as she said, the money before you get the reimbursement.
Yeah. And
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, one of the things we've tried to do in the past to help mitigate this juggling act from year to year is typically we don't do two large grants 1 year to the next. We usually do a gap year to assist with that, but unfortunately, the long history with this phase one of the voter improvement required us to do this phase two. So typically that's compiling this too and all hitting in 1 year. Like the clerk is saying, you know, it's definitely a more complicated year in some ways because typically we don't have two large grants like this that we're trying to fund.
Right.
We usually build in a gap year, partly also because of our staffing capacity, and it becomes a lot to juggle. But this year, just because of the way the cookies crumbled, that's where we're at.
Chairman Phillip.
Yes.
I just want to say I appreciate the clerk's narrative on the record. We have been handed a budget that is very challenging from the previous board, and the previous clerk. I'm just going to say it that way. And so to be able to move away from what you've termed as a whack-a-mole, which is accurate, there has to get to a point where there's stability. It's a lot more complicated, and the removal of the compounding effect of decisions that were made, I did not vote for them, is becoming apparent downstream in trying to provide services. So we say that a lot. I think it's worth saying again, because it continues to be problematic in trying to meet mandated services and provide for the growth in what Canyon County hopes to do on a long-term vision. And there's everybody doing more with less. So thank you, Clerk. Thank you, Director. Thank you, Chairman.
No, thank you, Commissioner. And maybe it was too much previewing when we get to the L2 amount, but the property tax amount Director Schwinn did not put in, that was just carried forward. And I just want to be clear, that's not what I'm suggesting. It was just for the sake of baseline budgeting, we just carry forward the same amounts that were levied in the prior year. But I just also want to be clear on the record, that's not what I'm necessarily suggesting, because we have to have that conversation about how to balance everything out. In this case, if fully expend $800,000 out of fund balance, just as a hypothetical, it would leave $400,000 in our fund balance relative to the budget. That'd be like 20% fund balance, so that's just a little bit lower. I would need to fact check with our audit team to make sure that would even cover the cash flow for a year. But so maybe it's not entirely $400,000 up that needs to be levied, but we will try to have. My suggestion is not to totally burn the potential of $800,000 on the current fund balance, but $400,000, $500,000, maybe even six, but not the entire. So we will have to make up that gap with a to be determined amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Any other questions or comments?
I don't have any, Chairman. I want to express appreciation for this whole budget process. There's been a lot that's gone into, thank you, Chief Rast, for getting the budget process and the clerk to where we're operating more on the actuals. It's pretty tight, but I think we're successful with a lot of good people providing a lot of good data for the board, as the chairman says, to take into consideration on moving forward in Canyon County.
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, I also just want to say that
Assistant Director Mike Farrell has done an amazing job of learning the department in the last 3 months, less than 3 months.
Almost three.
Yeah.
3 months.
Almost 3 years.
And I mean, he has a wealth of knowledge to supplement ours, but he's
been such a huge help and it was definitely the right pick for this and jumped onto a lot of this confusion and made sense of it incredibly quickly.
Yep.
Very grateful to have him as the new assistant director.
And thank you, Mike. You have big shoes to fill, and Nikki's smiling, and so that speaks well. I appreciate you being here and your help.
Looking forward to doing things moving on.
Great job, Nikki. Thank you for making it a teamwork presentation.
Any other closing comments? All right, I would recommend that we take this under advisement with the clerk coming back with some of that other information, and we adjourn for a short period of time for the next before the next item.
In favor.
Okay. So I have consensus to adjourn for a short period of time. So let's be in adjournment. Thank you.